Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Well, hi, everyone. This is Lori Peters from the Happiness Hangout. Welcome back to the show. It is again Wednesday. Every other Wednesday, we are on live. Very happy to have you tonight and have you with the Happiness Hangout, which is a place to support and grow your loving partnerships. So as you know, on this show, we do talk about happiness, but we do focus on happiness in relationships. And our guests typically have unique and interesting ways of having us grow our relationships or take our relationships to the next level. So without further ado, we have our guest tonight. I'd like to tell you a little bit about her. Her name is Sharon Winningham, and she is an unconditional loving life coach who has a private practice teaching and coaching people from all over the world, applying the life-changing principles of unconditional love. Sharon does private one-on-one coaching, interventions, and retreats. She has been coaching, training, and facilitating loving groups since 2005. Her practice includes personal and group sessions specializing in conflict resolution, marriage, parenting, workplace issues, depression, addictions, dating, anger, and teen issues. She teaches classes and workshops in all areas of relationships. Sharon is the director, founder of LovingGroups.com, Inc., a 501c3 corp nonprofit. An expert in the field of unconditional love, she brings years of life experience and a passion that shines through in a very direct and meaningful way. Sharon is in a course of study to become a practitioner of religious science as well at New Vision Center in Phoenix. So Sharon Winningham, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Thanks for having me.
Great. So great to have you here tonight. So I'd like to kind of start off by letting people know a little bit about what you do, how you got involved in what you do, so people can learn a little bit about what an unconditional loving life coach does. So you founded your organization about 12 years ago that's now a nonprofit. And at its core, I know it offers free support groups across many cities in the United States. Tell us a little bit about how all that happened and what these groups do for you.
Well, Lori, about 12 years ago, I was raising a son as a single mom, and I was really having a lot of problems with him. And there was a gentleman that came to our church who spoke about unconditional love. And I listened to him for the weekend, and I went, oh, my gosh, I have no idea how to love my son. So that was the relationship that really kicked it off. And I went to the minister of my church, and I said, you know, we really need to be teaching this, you know, teach what you need to learn. And I started support groups in our church, and we ended up having seven groups that ran, you know, for a decade, seven days a week at our church. And within about a year, people were kind of coming to me and saying, you know, can I come see you at your house? And I'm like, well, why? Well, we're learning so much from you. And within about that year, I was in a full-time practice. I had no idea what I was doing, except I realized that people really needed connection and community. And from that place, I started kind of adding a community element to it. Started a little meetup site with a calendar of events. And I started to think of the idea that if I could reproduce myself, we could reach more people. So I started training programs for hosts that could do what I was doing in these support groups. And we ended up moving out into other churches, into people's homes. And we just kind of grew organically over time. And the support groups themselves is just kind of a safe container for people to come in. And yet the hosts are really trained to kind of help people see the victimhood that they're in, help them see other choices in a really safe place by just simply asking questions, no advice, no therapy, just in a really safe place. No participation required. People can come if they're in any kind of trauma, breakup of a relationship, if they've got PTSD, doesn't matter. Everyone's welcome. It's open architecture. And so we began to just organically grow and grow and grow. And at our core, that is our core offering, is our free support group. So we spread out all over the nation in many cities. But what I began to do during that period of time was really look at this idea of, you know, reparenting and really coming from that place of understanding the neurology. So I started doing a lot of studying and, you know, doing workshops on parenting and couplehood. And we began to really see that community, if people had more than one person to go to, let's say like a therapist, that they had a family of 40 or 50 people that were nurturing all of them at the same time, then they grew faster. We saw that people really, it was kind of like putting nurturing on steroids. So we have like holding groups in people's home where people can come and just get held like little babies. So we certify holders to do that, because we know that the oxytocin helps, their growth quicker. So we really took it to the neurology, the neurophysiology of it. And a few years back, we opened up a home where people could come and stay and do some long-term coaching. And so we found that people started to move to Phoenix to be immersed in our community. Some of the other community aspects are book studies, national conference calls. We have potlucks, get together, movie nights, go to the movies. You know, a lot of really healthy things where people feel like they've got a sense of family, really at that ground level, that really foundational level. And then over the years, we started adding more relationship couples, that kind of workshops on top of it. So we saw that people would grow really fast, so that people started moving to Phoenix to stay, immerse themselves, to stay for long periods of time. And then they would go back to their cities and they would take it back with them. So it's kind of like an organic growth over time. That's kind of how we got started. And it was really for me, it was the idea of, if I can learn how to love unconditionally, I can save my son's life, really. He was in such a bad place. He was very angry. I had no idea really how to, the story is I had a airline ticket to send him halfway around the world to his father. And because I didn't feel like I could handle him. And after one weekend of kind of hearing some new ideas about love, I went, oh my gosh, I can change this. So I kind of went on a mission, and it became something I had no idea what it was going to become.
Wow. I mean, that's unbelievable how things like that take off. And as you, right. you mentioned early on that you had somebody come and visit and talk about unconditional love. Is that where this all comes from? Is it from a certain program, or was it created by you?
Yes.
Or do you use the base of like other work to do your
yes.
workshops?
So I was so impressed with what I had been hearing. So there was a gentleman, his name was Dr. Greg Baird. He wrote the Foundational Principles of Unconditional Love in a very precise, easy way to distill it to other people. His book was called Real Love. And I took that, and he wrote a series of, 15 different books, and I started reading there. And then I started reading every other book I could get a hold of from famous authors, M. Scott Peck and Harville Hendricks. And I started just going deeper and going deeper. And then I just started kind of customizing workshops. And then I started traveling. I got asked to speak in other cities. So we have a big community in Kona. Every 6 months, I go back and forth there. And I go back and forth to all the other cities, and I'll do a dating class and really teaching how to date from an authentic point of view versus, you know, putting your best foot forward. It's really coming to the table and saying, you know, I'd really like to learn how to love another human being. Are you interested? I've failed up until this point. Are you interested in practicing that with me? Here's my blueprint. Here's where I go sideways. Here's where, you know, I get afraid, you know. So really teaching people to live in that authenticity. But that gentleman who came and spoke that weekend changed my life that weekend. I just went, oh my gosh, I have no idea how to love my son. Mm-hmm. And so I got, you know, he had some CDs, and I started listening to the parenting CDs and going, oh my gosh. So I just listened to them constantly until it became, I really understood on a very deep level that, you know, even just the furrowing of your eyebrow, or, you know, just sighing at your child, you know, was sending a message. you know, you're inconvenient, you know, you're in the way, move a little faster, you know, all the things that we do that tells another person that, you know, I don't love you, the screaming of that message. And people feel that. And so that was very profound for me to find that at that time in my life, because that Monday morning at that weekend, I was ready to put him on a plane to his dad. I canceled that ticket and I said, I can do this.
Wow. Talk about a revelation happening at the right time. Woo.
Well, he was, you know, there was one point when my son said to me, you know, I'm never going to be good enough for you. I'll never live up to your expectations. So obviously I was very controlling, afraid, you know, and here I was, a real estate agent in the height of the market. We're flying to, you know, Cancun and to Ixtapa, and he was on the number one top team in America, this kid, my kid, for soccer. And we're flying to all these different cities where, you know, we're from the outside in, it looked like we had a great life, but he was punching holes in walls and I was calling the cops. So wow. we were dying inside, and I knew I had to do something. And so, you know, what a beautiful moment for me to have that in my life at that moment, and to have a minister of my church who had brought him there because she read the book and really, you know, it was just so concise and so easy to distill down and teach. So, you know, it was several years later, I have this huge community in Phoenix with this whole community aspect to it and all these events and things that we did. And this guy's going, who's this woman in Phoenix? So we ended up meeting years later, and, you know, he has his own stuff he does. And I've gone on to teach a lot more, rounded, and other teachings and things, but, you know, even, but it's just been such a wonderful experience. I had no idea why people were asking me to come over. Can I come over and talk to you? And then finally I realized, well, wow. Okay, so there's something here. And the way that I had grown up was, you know, in a very hostile environment where I had to read every nuance in someone's face to be safe. And I realized that transformed into a really beautiful gift for me to be able to see what's going on inside another human being that's sitting across, you know, the room from me. And to be able to help them at that level. So I really started doing individual coaching, and then I started doing weekend retreats. And so people will come from all over the nation, and we'll just sit in that circle. And it'll be, it's always been a focus on small groups, and usually not over 12 people. And we just keep adding them as we need them. So, and we keep training new hosts all the time. Twice a year we have a training program for them. And so it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, we're really focused on, you know, educating people on that fight or flight, what's going on inside of them. When someone sits down in front of me, I was just in Dallas last week, and this woman sat down, and in 5 minutes she says, I think I've been crazy my whole life. And she explained a little bit, and I said, no, you know, it's perfectly understandable. You know, you grew up in a war zone and your brain is mapped, your reptilian brain is going off all the time. There's nothing wrong with you. You know, you just need some love and some nurturing, and you're going to need a little unraveling and unpacking some of those old belief systems. And so that's where I found that I had a natural gift to be able to help people just kind of understand the fear and confusion from the past and kind of help them unravel that.
You know, and as I'm thinking about this, you know, I can't help. I have some mixed emotions about the words unconditional love. And here's what I mean. You know, when I think of a child, you know, I even think of, you know, animals who've never done anything to hurt anybody.
Right.
And you think unconditional love for sure with love and a parent. But we do know when we get into relationships with other people that there are lines to be drawn in the sand in terms of, you know, how we're to be treated, what's acceptable, you know, what's okay, where the line is crossed. So I guess I'd like to talk a little bit more about the term unconditional love, because I mean, I hate to say this, but I think there are conditions in terms of what we allow people to do to us. So when we're, you know, I deal mostly in talking about loving partnerships in relationships. So when you're dealing with that, when you talk about dating and relationships and unconditional love, Have you ever worked with people that come in, or you maybe just have one of the partners come in, mm-hmm. and maybe the other isn't really being loving? How do you deal with unconditional love in a circumstance where maybe that person shouldn't be in their life?
Well, and that's really where you just kind of guide them in their options and their choices. You know, you can impact a relationship by giving unconditional gifts to your partner, and it could impact them enough to where they begin to see a change. Because a lot of times, I mean, what we know for sure is that the conflict comes from not two people where we need to draw lines in the sand, but both people understanding that they have to take responsibility for their own side of the fence. In other words, I'm in pain when you do this, but this is my job to make sure I go within and I get the help that I need. Not for you to have to change, but there are things where you do draw a line in the sand. I wouldn't hesitate to tell a woman to step away if she's getting beaten. You know, all of that kind of stuff, that's where we begin to draw lines in the sand. But when you're talking about a concept of the idea of unconditional love, there isn't any. We're human. We're going to make mistakes, and that's how we learn how to love deeper, is when our partner does make mistakes. And that, you know, the idea is that I realize that what my partner needs from me in his darkest hours is what I need, and what I need to come to the table with to heal what's inside of me. You know, coming from that perspective that we come into relationship to heal in that space between. And so, you know, like my partner, you know, came from a very brutal background, being in gangs, had been in prison, came to the relationship with physically being close to another human being after being shot and stabbed and all kinds of things in his life, you know, drugs shoved down his throat when he was 9 years old, you know, all that kind of stuff. To be close to another human being, physically close, I'm real cuddly. I never got that when I was a kid. So I come to the table with this deficiency, with this need. And he knows that if he leans in and practices that and leans into the relationship, that it's healing the very thing that he never got when he was a kid, that he brings to the table, the fear of actually being close to someone. So I know that he needs more space than I do. So that's where I grow up, when I allow him to have that space and remember that, you know, that he loves me. So there's that gift of the unconditional gift that we give each other, and yet we're never going to do it perfectly. It's just about coming together and being able to have the dialogue that says, you know, I want to make a loving request. Can you hear it? Can you mirror back to me what I'm saying? You know, in those dialogues that are very connecting versus always pointing the finger at each other. I know that any time that I have an emotional reaction to what my partner is doing, I know that's just a gift for me to look inside and say, wow, here's another layer where I can go deeper in my own healing. So educating couples on this is why we come together in relationship. There's no greater gift than becoming that vulnerable up close with someone. But it doesn't really work if you have one of the partners who doesn't want to be in that kind of healing space, is too unconscious, doesn't want to participate in that, and wants to continue to be in the blame game, not taking responsibility for what's going, you know, their internal struggles that they bring to the table. So will we ever do it perfectly? No, but that gives us an opportunity. You know, let's say we get 80% full. You know, it's like 100% full of unconditional love would be God, like Jesus, Buddha. Well, you know, we're not that. We're not ever going to be that. But that other, you know, 20% that we're still flawed, and you know, we still see things through a lens of pain sometimes, it's really about, that's where our gift is, to keep coming back to the table with that commitment to keep trying to understand each other and understand each other's blueprint. You know, where did this come from for you? What, you know, why does this make you hurt? What is your biggest wounds? And then saying, you know, I won't terrorize you. My partner, when we first got together, when we would have an argument, he would attack and he would run. And for me, my dad and my mom would always get in fights. My dad would run and we'd separate. So my world was always unstable all the time. So when he did that, my body would start to vibrate and shake. Now he says, I'll never terrorize you like that again, because he's leaning into growing and learning and not having the behaviors of his past. And so he leans in and he says, okay, I'm going to take a little space, but I'll be back at 2 and we'll talk then. So it gave me that beautiful unconditional love of understanding me, leaning in, giving me that safe container so that I'm not going back into all my old triggers and feeling that insecure. And then in that safe space, I began to heal by someone who cared enough to say, I understand that would be terrorizing to you. So I'll always give you a time. And then so you negotiate through those little things, creating that safe container so that you've got that space in between, which is, you know, quantum physics is teaching us that's the supportive thing that's in between all the planets and the molecules and the atoms. It's that space between where the universe flows, where love flows. We can create that together as couples. We can create that space with an understanding about our backgrounds. But I can't come to the table and say, when you do this, this is what happens to me. I can say that, but I got to follow up with, now here's my responsibility in this. This is where it came from. Now I'm creating connection in the conversation. I'm saying, I'm giving you the information that you need. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying, fact, this is what happens when, and then this is where it comes from. Can you see me there? Can I have possibly a little bit of negotiation room here to ask for a loving request while I feel this in this relationship? And really understanding that's why we come together in all of our relationships, is to find that gift and to find people who can love us unconditionally at that level and understand us.
You know, it's really interesting in what you're saying. Mm-hmm. When we think of relationships, I know that I really enjoy that in terms of my situation that, you know, if we get a little snarky with each other, mm-hmm. I find mm-hmm. that often one of us reaches in very quickly to end it.
Uh-huh.
Because I think both of us are acutely aware of what we've been through in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm writing a book about mine, as a matter of fact, and he has, you know, been through a lot himself. So I enjoy that. I don't know that I've ever really had that before in terms of, you know, we don't have really long drag out fights. That's not his style.
Right.
And I'm very sensitive. I don't like fighting. It doesn't do anything for me. I like trying to work things out. And with that sensitivity, I need somebody who's going to take care of my heart. I've always been very sensitive like that. So when you talk about space in between, I guess I've tried to make that space in between to get where I need to be pretty quickly now as I've grown older, and go and reach out. And even though we're a little snarky, or, you know, I've had a long day, or I've really just, you know, some days, no matter what, you just come to the end of your brink, even if you love what you're doing, you come to the end of your brink and you're just done. And, and in that moment, if I have that attitude or I say something, I feel myself leaning forward towards him, which know I would have never done before. And I've been noticing it lately. He does the same.
Well, you know, what we begin to find is this couple go and we realize that when there's that rupture, when we do something that causes the rupture in the in-between, we realize that it just doesn't feel good anymore. I don't, you know, it's not about you've gone past that place of blaming your partner. You've gone so far past that. You know it's going to happen. You know that you're not going to be unconditionally loving all the time. There's the rupture. It happens. And you have learned the technique of leaning in very quickly. My partner, we had to come up with code words in the beginning because we were both very wounded from our past. We had failed many relationships. And we came together and said, would you like to try to learn how to love somebody? And we said, yes, we both agreed. And the code word is, whenever I would kind of go into a spasm or I'd pull away, he would say to me, you want to be closer to me. You want to be closer to me, not further away from me, remember? And that was my cue to drop what I was doing. And this was in the early days, to drop whatever I was feeling. Then he'd grab my hand, he'd put me in his lap, and he'd go, now we can talk. So that was in the early days. We had to come up with those code words of, you know, remember, when my brain starts to go to that reptilian brain and I'm in protection mode, that, oh, yes, what I'm really wanting is to be close to you. I forget that. You're not my enemy. You're not my enemy. And so it was brilliant. You know, we learned those techniques that we, you know, of course, teach to others now because we're in partnership and teaching all this stuff. And just, you know, sometimes we need those little code words. And now it's like, you know, we can tell if there's been a tiny rupture, we go, who would want to stay in that past 2 seconds? And it's just like, okay, we're done, right? Yep, we're done. Because it's just, it's become so uncomfortable to live in that other space.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you just talked a little bit about language and use certain words. You mentioned a standard language you use, you know, in your groups when you teach people. So can you tell us a little bit more about language?
Yes, we've got it kind of broken down to, we actually, at the beginning of every group, we have a little one-page, two-sided page that we read every single group, and we kind of took everything that we were learning and we condensed it, and it's called the guidelines to run our group, but it's really the guidelines to run our life and our relationships. And be happy to share one with you. It's actually on our website too. It's posted on there, the guidelines for our group, and it's kind of a condensation of all the principles that we gathered up, and it's you know, a lot of it came from and inspired by the first books that we read by Dr. Greg Bear, Real Love Books, and it talks about how when we're empty and afraid, when we're feeling that disconnect, that we are either getting or protecting. When we have pain, we're either trying to get something to ease our pain, and sometimes that's using other people or drugs or excitement or gambling or whatever. We're either getting or protecting. So we're either in protection mode, pushing people away, or we're getting. So that's some of the basic language. And to do that, to the vehicles by which we do that, we have five different behaviors that we use: lying, attacking, acting like a victim, clinging, and running. So we break those down into some categories that really kind of make it clear so we can begin to see it in others. So if others are exhibiting these kind of behaviors, we know that they actually need a lifeline, not for us to pull away. They're actually needing some love and attention. It's a cry for help. And so then we teach, you know, that when we see people in these kind of behaviors, what they're really saying is, I need to be loved. And they're screaming at the other person, I don't love you. So they're really in crisis. And so if we can see that, we can have more compassion. So we're teaching compassion. And then it goes into just like some basic laws of relationships. You know, everyone's got the law of choice, that we don't have a right to choose people's choices, law of expectation. If we have expectation, it leads to disappointment. And we kind of lay all that languaging out. That's the language we've been using for a very long time and then kind of just added to it over the years. So that's kind of, you know, so what we do is we come together in group and in community to practice this with each other so eventually we can find that intimate partner. So if, let's say there's two people in the community who are kind of fussing and fighting and then they're in these behaviors, we circle back around in group and we have them talk about it honestly. What's their part in it? Where are they being unloving? And really learning how to communicate in real time. So the community becomes very, very self-supporting and unconditional in the sense that people are able to see it in action right in group. You know, how do we work through those things? So that's a lot of the basic fundamental languaging that we use in those support groups. And then when we get into the couplehood, like this weekend when I was in Dallas, you know, I'm always in seminars myself and in training, and I'm in practitioner training at my church. And this weekend I went and I spent the weekend with Tarvel Hendricks in Dallas. And in the couplehood, Safe Conversations, and he's training practitioners to facilitate what he calls safe conversations. And it's a beautiful rollout that he's doing right now about how to mirror and affirm conversation. And it's a technology that he's come up with to create connection very quickly between couples. And if they do it the right way, then they'll feel that connection instantly. And we witnessed it, and it was a, you know, really beautiful technology. So we'll be rolling that out here in our community in a couple months as well. And we're going to have some practice sessions that start next week. So it's just kind of, there's a lot of the languaging that I really liked about him, because he really did a lot of the neurology, the study of all of that mixed in. He had been a therapist in the 70s and said, you know, the basic therapy stuff wasn't where his gig was. And he really worked on really hard on this couplehood stuff. And we had been teaching his stuff for about 3 years, and I finally said, I want to go and spend the weekend and really, really listen to him. And it was a really beautiful weekend. It was really great.
Well, you bring up some of the techniques and it's just kind of interesting to think about. Say I think about an ex from a long time ago who was obviously had lots of different issues going on, because, my journey was very challenging as well. Very challenging. So I think of this ex, and he's been sitting on my mind as you've been talking from a long time ago. Do you have people that ever come to you who might be in, and we can talk, I want to talk about dating a little bit more too, but let's just say you're dating somebody, you're with somebody to a point, they have lots of issues, you have lots of issues, and you yourself, one of you is learning these techniques, and you haven't really brought the person that you're dating on board. Have you ever seen people change with just one partner? One partner just kind of working some of these things, because we all know that what people really need is love. If they're screaming, if they're crying, if they're pushing you away, if they're insecure, I mean, sure, people break up. Putting that aside, people leave for no reason. And so many people are left going, well, why? And oftentimes it's them inside. Right. So what happens when one person kind of have you ever seen others change kind of unknowingly?
Yes. In 90% of the cases that I have had over the last 12 years, we teach them how to go back to the relationship to begin, because in our group, the focus is telling the truth about yourself, not about the other person. And we tell them, well, you're in the group. Okay, I've heard enough about him. Okay, so let's get to you. Where were you unloving? So when they go back to their partners, they're now going back into a relationship where the other person knows nothing about any of the languaging, nothing. But they come back and they say, yesterday I attacked you and it was very unloving. And they begin to tell the truth about their mistakes. They begin to tell the truth about when they were unloving. Last month I did this. When they begin to tell the truth about that, all of a sudden something shifts in the relationship, and the other partner usually takes about 3 months. If someone's coming to group regularly and they're really working on their side of the fence, it impacts the other person so much they have no idea where this controlling woman who used to criticize them like crazy, where'd she go? And they go, something's amiss here. I don't understand why she's not coming home every day and telling me everything I've done wrong. And so here are men going, what happened to my wife? What happened to my dating partner? They're not even recognizable. They have to work really hard to impact that relationship. But then we see the other partner, whether it's male or female, and typically it's the female who's doing it first. Sometimes it's the male that will lead in, though. And so then they'll start to come to group. They'll be very apprehensive because their wife has dragged them to everything in the world so far to change them. And then they hear in group, oh, no. When she's in group, she has to be talking about how she's been unloving with you. And it blows their mind. And they go, I'm in for that. and then they have to learn about how to do that same thing back to their partner. They have to begin to look at their side of the fence. What behaviors are they in that are unloving? And then all of a sudden you've got some magic going on. Two people actually telling the real truth to each other, creating that connection. Because we don't have any connection when we're telling the truth about the other person. We don't create the understanding our backgrounds and our blueprint. I do this when, and this is where it comes from. All of a sudden there's magic that happens. So when I have a couple that comes to me, typically I say, you guys just have to kind of separate for a little while, even mentally or in different households, depending upon whether it's cops being called or if it's just, they're just bickering or they're at the end of their rope in their marriage, they're done. And basically, they both have to come into coaching. Now, my coaching program's a little bit different than, say, going to a therapist, because they have to go to 3 groups a week. They have to make 3 calls a day to the wise people within our community, and they have to be telling the truth about themselves. They have to email me every day, journaling what's going on in their life, and that goes on for 3 months. So during that period of time, they have done everything they need to do to get their engine running right and to be able to then come back together probably in about week 7 or 8 to be able to come back in. They know who they are. They've gone deep. They've looked at all the lies that they believe about themselves. They've told the truth about it in group, really had a whole bunch of support on steroids, and now they're able to come back and really be able to do this right with each other. And so in less than 3 months, we can completely turn around a 30-year marriage. And wow. here's the beauty of that. Because there's so much support, they may. I have couples that have come to me, one this last year in particular, who came to me, and they both realized they've been married for 32 years. They both went, oh, we never should have been married in the first place. We never really even liked each other that much. We came together because we were empty, alone, and afraid. We clung to each other. You know, he had gone from one woman and moved the next one in the very next day, and they were in so many ugly behaviors with each other, pushing and pulling and pleasing and all the things that were going on. We unraveled that, and they both looked at each other and go, oh my gosh, we're just great friends. Let's move on. Beauty. Wow. It doesn't matter the outcome, but the truth finally comes out. When the man sits in front of me and says, you know what? If I was dating today, I wouldn't be picking her. And I said, well, it's time to tell her, don't you think? The yeah. truth comes out, because you can't, you know, you separated from her, you know, 10 years ago physically. Instead, you're going on a, you know, a sexual sabbatical because you want to, you know, be like a guru on a mountaintop, you know, through his church where he meditates. No. You withdrew from her, and it's been painful for her. Let's end the pain. No more wounding. So you got to tell the truth. You got to step up to the plate. Well, he had never told his truth his whole life because he'd always been the people pleaser. He didn't know it was okay to even have his own opinions about maybe what color he wanted his office to be. Everything was about her. And wow. so when he realized he had choices and he got all the support to finally get out of all that fear, you know, he was able to tell her, this is my real truth. And they both have lived, he's in a new relationship. She actually moved back with her family back east. She's doing great, working a job. She hasn't gotten into a relationship yet. But here's people who are finding their truth inside of them and being able to stand in that truth and saying, I know this isn't easy. It doesn't even matter whether they come back together and now they have the thriving relationship they've always wanted or whether they separate. The point is they got happy. They're coming from a place of really knowing who they are, and it's not taking, you know, they had done every kind of modality possible for years, and nothing had worked. And it's just the amount of love and support. And the thing is, I factored into this program, when they come into coaching, I factored in that if they're not doing their job, they get dropped. They lose everything. They prepay it up front. You know, so here's the skin in the game. You know, they've tried everything. They're done. And I always, you know, everyone that comes to me is at, you know, that last, the last place. This is it. I've tried everything. And so this is where we've had people that have, you know, moved to Phoenix State for a year. It took a year of them going to group every single day because we've got 20, 30 groups around the valley. So they go every single day, had to live with us in our home. And it took that much because they were in panic attacks, you know, 8 hours a night, never slept, ending up in psych wards. And everyone had thrown them away and said, you know what? There's no help for you. We can't help you. And this particular person, this beautiful man, is now hosting two groups a week for me in Dallas and does one of my national conference calls. The beauty of that is he just needed to be held every single day in his terror. And the amount of people that we have that can hold him, and then the private coaching, and for him to be immersed in a community where there's, you know, movies in the home and every single holiday there's an event, and to be in a loving family. He was in terror to leave his job in Dallas for a complete year, leave his children. He wasn't making it. And so he spent 1 year and went back to Dallas about four or five months ago, thriving. I was just in Dallas. He picks me up from the airport, and I said, hey, is there anything going on in your life that's a challenge? And he goes, no, everything's great. We're talking about someone who screamed at the top of his lungs 24 hours a day that the sky was falling in panic attacks.
So I can't help but think, though? I can't help but think, going back on another subject, which I know we wouldn't get into, but I can't help but think, oh, parents, you know, what we do to our kids. Because as parents, we're not ready for children. Well, most people don't know any techniques. They just keep going by what they learned, or they become frustrated. But as parents, it's the biggest responsibility on the planet. This little child has no ability to handle what you are throwing at them, because you are so confused, conflicted, hurt, angry inside. And it's it's no wonder parents, or better yet, before you have children, to take care of yourself and learn how, you know, who you are. And most, and then we have to have kids younger, but although we're doing it older in life, I just keep thinking, my goodness, we can't bring children into the world. I know everyone has flaws. I feel very lucky about the parents I had. Sure, they had flaws, but they were great parents. But geez Louise, this is rough. You know, it's rough to do that to a kid.
Yeah, and you know, and when I think about all the crazy ways that I was with my son for the first half of his upbringing, you know, was just absolute craziness. I had been married 5 times. Part of that was during the years I was raising him. You know, just the craziness that was going on. You know, I hear your heart, my heart. You know, that's why we do what we do, is because, you know, now I've got this little grandchild downstairs in my living room right now. I can hear her crying in the background, and I watch her every Wednesday. And it's just such a joy to see my son do such a turnaround. I mean, that's what it's for me to know that this kid is going to get raised in such a wonderful home and have this large extended family. You know, there's no perfect parents. My son will make mistakes. His wife will make mistakes. But we'll be able to explain to them what that is, so there's no confusion. And there's where a lot of the healing comes from. You know, 2/3 of all healing is understanding. You know, the other 1/3's practice. So, you know, we're going to make mistakes even with this child. But just you know, my heart aches like you is just any time I hear, you know, a child, you know, really in a really tough home, it's just, that's where our heart expands. It's like, okay, so let's keep working with just one person at a time, because there's that ripple effect into the world. We don't, you know, our whole mantra has been, we're not looking to save the world. We're looking to just help whoever's sitting right in front of us in that moment. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's our focus. If somebody's sitting there, that's our job. That's it.
Well, you know, as you go back, and we're talking about parents, and before we're parents, hopefully, you know, we date. So when you talk about trying to find somebody who wants to start a relationship, okay, how do you recommend somebody could really approach somebody? Because, you know, when you first meet somebody, you're just trying to get to know them, and you've got your best foot on, you know, your best person comes out, you know, of who you are, and it's not the real you until a little bit later. So how do you all recommend for people who are trying to date and find that person? What recommendations do you get?
Well, I do a 1-day dating class, and the whole conversation is based around number one, you're not waiting till later for that to come out. When you're going on a date, you can start with a couple of little things, like, you know, I kind of got dressed up a little bit here, and I don't normally do that. At home, I look pretty frumpy. And if they're already curling, you know, with a frown, you're kind of done. So, you know, teaching to come to the table with authenticity and saying, you know, obviously I haven't known how to make a relationship work, and knowing how to ask the right kind of questions. So, for instance, if I ask someone, you know, what happened in your last relationship? Why did that fail? And they're going, well, she did this and she did this and she did that. You know what? There's no going up from there. You're going to blame me the second that we get, you know, we begin to have some hardships, which we will have. You haven't even healed the past. So in learning how to interpret the conversations that you're having by, you know, because somebody could tell you that and you could go, oh, okay, that's why it failed. But if you know how to interpret the conversation and go, okay, I realize this is what he's really saying, then, you know, you can begin to go right to the conversation of, you know, are you actually interested in learning how to love somebody unconditionally? Now, this is a trick. Our guidelines at the end of a date, coffee date, I recommend coffee dates. No whining and dining. Don't go for all of that. Don't waste the money. You can tell pretty much by asking a couple of really pointed questions within the first 5 minutes, you can be kind of done. How much pain they have. Are they exhibiting the behaviors right in front of you? Are they, you know, what I went on a date, one date I went on, and the guy walked in the restaurant. He didn't see me. I was sitting on a little sofa on the side. He huffed and puffed, put his hands on his hips and went walking out. And so I kind of went around the restaurant. I found out that, you know, outside the patio, and I said, "Hey, Richard." And he goes, "Oh, there you are." And came huffing and puffing towards me. So when you're looking at the behaviors, when you know how to interpret the behaviors, you can kind of see glaringly that, you know, we're kind of done already. I can already tell this isn't going to go up from here. And it didn't. If I told the story, which I do tell a lot of these stories in the dating class, it's like, so how do you get to that as quick as possible? So you're not trying to get to know someone over time. It's a waste of time. You want to average those odds up as quick as possible with the right kind of tools, knowing what to look for. And also, why are we dating in the first place? You know, what's the real purpose of dating? Is to go out and learn how to be a loving presence when someone actually shows up in a lot of behaviors like that. How do you practice doing that so that you can practice being with a partner? You know, in other words, here's an opportunity to see what's coming up in you through the process, and then where do you still have work to do? It, the whole thing is looking for that gift in there. But if you're coming to the table and you're really practicing these principles and you're really wanting a relationship where someone's interested, at the end of the date, hand them one of those sheets of paper from our group and say, "Hey, go ahead and read that. And if, you know, next time we get together, you can tell me what you think about it." That will eliminate 99% of all the people out there. Now, if someone's not interested in having a loving relationship, then why would you date them, right? So so here's a piece of paper. You know, hey, if you're interested, give me a call. I'm practicing this in my life. I'm wanting someone who's interested in learning how to have a more loving relationship. Obviously, I've failed in the past. That's very honest. And so coming from adult conversation instead of playing little games of putting your best foot forward. When I met my partner, the first thing that he said to me was, "Here's my background. This is where I come from. It would be reckless of me to not go ahead and tell you the truth up front and just kind of get to know you. So are you even interested in continuing the conversation?" And then the second thing he said to me, I of course said absolutely, because he was being so truthful. And he said, the second thing he says is, "I can't be with someone who doesn't understand great pain and who is not willing to take care of their own side of the fence." And I went, bingo, that's what I'm looking for. Now, it sounds kind of unromantic, but the way that we've done it in the past is very much still kind of high school. I'm going to put my best foot forward. I'm going to make you think that I look like this all the time and I act like this all the time, and I don't. Later, you're going to feel betrayed. You're going to feel like, where's the woman that I met that was all this? And you're really not. Well, we have to come to the table and we have to say, okay, here's where I'm not all that, and here's where you're not all that. Do we think that we can lay those two blueprints over each other, and then we can find the magic in the middle? How can we create that safe container? So if we're not actually having that kind of conversation going in, now we want to eliminate as many possible no's as quickly as possible.
So can I ask you the tough question that I think, you know, most of our listeners listen through podcasts after this is over. So I have to ask this.
Cool.
Okay. Right. You don't think that's pouring it on too thick on the first date?
No, it's not, because, you know, it's really not, because people come to the table, just like when I met my partner now, you know, we were both in that place where this is really where we were at. In general conversation, you'll talk for an hour, you'll ask some of the right questions, and then if you feel like there's a possibility to a match, because generally in 5 minutes you can either see those big behaviors, you can ask a couple questions, and they're already telling you that they're still blaming their ex-partner. Okay, so now you can kind of stand up after an hour and say, you know, it was really great meeting you. I don't think that we're a match, and you can be on your way. Now, if you're thinking that this person really has some spiritual aspect to them, some kind of feeling of some enlightenment where they've done some work on themselves. You can say, hey, you know, here I'm practicing this. Read this, and you know, next time we get together, if you're interested in getting together again, you know, tell me what you think about it. If they came back and said this is the stupidest thing ever, well, then you're probably not a match. You're way apart. But at least you know you've made that effort. So,
You get that vibe. You get that vibe from talking to them from the hour to say, hey, right. I can tell this person is open-minded. I really like them. I'm getting a good vibe. I like the way they've answered the questions. And then when it feels right, you know, very early on in the dating situation, you bring that to them, if not the first night. So, well, you know what? I don't want to not enable you to be able to tell us a little bit about how people can find you. So we're getting towards the end here, Sharon.
Okay.
And it's been a very fascinating conversation, something I haven't heard of before. And our folks may be very interested in reading more about what you do or getting in contact. Tell us more about how we do that.
Okay, so we have a national website, which is loving-groups.com. Pretty easy. And it talks about our mission and vision, and everything's on there. And it's got pictures of our community, fun stuff. So, and you can read all the different pages about what we do and our philosophy and how we bring people together in conscious relationships. Then I have my own personal website that you can go on and pay for classes. And by the way, I have a dating class coming up April 15th. You can Zoom in from anywhere in the nation. You just go to my website, which is SharonWinningham.com. Pretty easy stuff. In all the different cities, on our main national website, it shows all the different cities where we have support groups. You'll find little buttons all over that'll say St. Louis and Indianapolis and Houston and Dallas and Boulder, Denver, Kona. It'll give you all the little different cities on there. You push that button, and you find their local meetup site with all the calendar of events, the potlucks, the get-togethers, the conference calls, the groups, the book studies. All that stuff is on the individual meetup sites across the nation. And we are starting the training for new hosts this week, and we do it in April and October every year. So if anyone ever participates at any level and says, hey, you know, I'd like to learn how to do this, we train hosts, and you can open up something in your city. All of our hosts participate at a level where if you'd even like to open up a loving group in your home and we advertise it in that city, we will have a host Zoom in and run that group for a year for you until you know how to do it.
Wow.
So that's how we spread out across the nation. So the Phoenix meetup site where all of the calendar of events of all my classes that I teach, we have a retreat coming up in May. The first weekend in May, we have a retreat here in Phoenix. We still have some spots open where we have a retreat house where everyone comes together. There's only going to be 12 people at this retreat to really go deeper for a whole weekend. It's supported by all of our hosts that come and support. We have an opening regular loving group the first night. We have a community potluck the second night to where you can immerse yourself in the community and meet everyone. Anyway, that's what it looks like. We have a lot going on. And that's it, I think.
Wonderful. Well, just give us that website one more time. Those
okay,
websites.
Okay, loving-groups.com. And my personal website with all my classes and things like that. And personally about me is SharonWinningham.com.
Well, perfect. Well, Sharon Winningham, Unconditional Loving Life Coach, it's been a pleasure to have this conversation and learn about what you do and how it's spread across the country and fabulous work. You know, love is really everything that life is supposed to be. So it's wonderful work, and thank you so much for being on the Happiness Hangout. And looking forward to talking with you again sometime.
Thank you, Lori.
All right. Have a wonderful night.
You too. Bye.
Humanity Thriving Out Loud. Read The Magic Happens magazine at www.themagichappensnow.com. Go to the Happiness Hangout and get your Happiness Relationship Quick Reads twice a month. And learn about all the different information on how to take your relationship happiness to its highest level. Check out my website at www.happinesshangout.net. And also, my book is being published. We have a date of August 8th, Getting Married at Last, My Journey from Hopelessness to Happiness. So glad you all could join us. Put you on podcast, see you on podcast, and see you in 2 weeks from the Happiness Hangout. Have a great night.
Hi, this is your host, Lori. Want to get more happiness? Check out all the free readings, activities, and my blog at my website. Want to learn how to deal with life's challenges from your positive core? Check out Empowering Yourself to Happiness class, done totally online. You can find it all at www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net. Come explore and feel better wherever you are. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are. Help us grow the Happiness Hangout Show. Become a sponsor. Businesses and nonprofits, get your info out there to thousands of my listeners all over the world for just pennies. Individuals can also sponsor one or more shows, and you get a shout out to your favorite charity. Several packages available. Come see what you get and put out there what's important to you. Go to www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net for more information.